rompe chi altro ma che si chi il mondo ma chi si chi le ombra ma che si chi il mondo che chi altro ma che si chi le mondo chi rompe edre ma che si chi l'otto ma perché he says I truly have called you out of darkness and translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of my dear son, the kingdom of light. And in response to my love that I've bestowed upon you by this grace, you must go out now and call others out of darkness into light. So do not be ashamed of my gospel. Do not be ashamed of the words and the impartations that I've placed within you, says the Lord. But recognize that the impartations that I've placed in you are for a purpose. For my word will not return void within you, and my word will not return void coming out of you again. So allow the seeds that have been planted in your hearts to bring forth fruit, to bring forth the harvest within you, and take this harvest that is grown and bring it to other people that they may partake of the fruit of life, says the Lord. For there's many who are lost and they hunger as they stand in darkness, though they do not know what they hunger for. And you have the information. You can deliver them the bread from heaven. For they hunger and thirst for that which man cannot give. So go forth as my ambassadors in my power, by my spirit and my anointing. And bring this message of grace and mercy and love to the people. For there's many who are deceived and do not understand my grace. There's many who do not recognize my grace. And there's many who have no fear of God before their eyes, but you can bring the truth to them. You can help them recognize the delicate balance of the fear of the Lord and my grace and truth. For if there ever was such a generation, this is the generation that I've called you to. And you must serve from my table. For my table is a table of provision. There's much healing to be served to the people. Not only in the physical, but also in the emotional realms, as many are hurt. Many are tormented in their thoughts and their minds. For they don't know me, and there's no peace for the wicked. But you can serve them peace as you stand up boldly and fight the emotional realms that try to talk you out of doing that which is right. If you will stand up and lift up your hands in your closet and receive from my spirit, you become strong, not in your own power, nor in your own might, but you will become strong in me. And you and I together will go forth to conquer the enemy, says the Lord. And so the Lord says, he says, I've freely laid before all of my children a table. It's a table of provision, a table of healing, a table of salvation. But I've also placed upon the table a mantle of my spirit with many gifts that have been neglected. For in ages past, many have not recognized the importance of these gifts. And so is too now with this generation. They do not earnestly desire to have them. They walk forth as broken vessels and do not have the equipment necessary to save the world. Though that equipment is available to them, they neglect what I've freely given. So seek me with your whole hearts to receive all of the different manifestations of my Spirit and gifts of the Spirit that come from my hand. There are some who have sought me, but they do not seek me with their whole hearts. Though they not how to operate in these gifts or to flow in these gifts, their hands go limp and they are disheartened because they do not understand. But those who press in with their whole hearts to receive the equipment for the call, those who have not found satisfaction in the things in the natural and the things that the Gentiles run after, those that have not found any satisfaction in this world, who've lost hope in the world but have found hope in me and are broken, have a broken, contrite spirit and press into me, they will find that I will teach them and I will guide them down the path to operate in these gifts. Have I not said that my Spirit has been sent to guide you into all truth and to teach you all things? This is not just concerning my word, but this is also concerning the operation of the gifts of my Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. For I've placed eternity in the hearts of men, and I've created you to be spiritual people, for you are my children. My children are born of my Spirit. And there are many impartations that can and will be made, but you must ask. For I'm no respecter of persons, so you must ask, for I've provided for all. But it's those who pursue me by their faith relentlessly that will receive these impartations of grace by my Spirit, says the Lord. And there's much standing in the gap and intercession that must be made through praying and the gift of tongues. And this gift also has been neglected as a whole. For if you only knew the power, if you only knew the manifestation of my glory that goes forth just after a few simple utterances of tongues, if I opened your eyes to see, you would never again neglect this gift. But I expect you to step out by faith . You must trust that my word is truth. You must trust that I will never lead you astray. You must trust that when I said you will build yourselves up and make intercession for the saints, that this privilege that I've given you must not be neglected, says the Lord. So press in to me with your whole hearts in prayer. Though there are many distractions that surround you day by day, there's much opposition of the enemy to try to hinder your prayer and stop you from praying, says the Lord. If you will recognize these tactics and open up your eyes to see who it is trying to stop you and tap into my grace, you will overcome. And if you will press in with your whole hearts in prayer, you will be able to see and discern things that those around you cannot see. For there's many who've touched a certain realm in my spirit and become content and continue to walk in that same realm, never entering in to the many, many realms higher in me. So be not content with the operation and anointing of my spirit that you walk in this hour, but continue to press in and seek me. Press me sore through fasting and prayer for more and more of my power and my glory. For you must first receive my power and my glory to pour out my power and glory upon those in darkness, says the Lord. For I have also said in my word to follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. And this gift also has been neglected, for many do not understand its operation or how to operate in it, says the Lord. But those who seek me diligently with their whole hearts will be taught. For I've said in my word, they will all be taught by God. But you must listen and learn from my spirit, and I will direct you down the path and show you how to manifest these gifts by my spirit. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. For there's much inspired speech that must be spoken. For many speak from their own minds and their own intellect. But this is not by man's wisdom, but it must be done by the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hallelujah, Jesus. So recognize the precious gifts that are placed before you and seek me diligently. For those who seek me will find me. And those who find me will be used by me. For many try to present the gospel, serving from their own table. But the gospel that I've laid out on my table is a gospel that comes with signs and wonders and manifestations of my glory, says the Lord. There's many who present men's gospel with no signs that follow, no signs to convince the hard-hearted. For it's those who empty themselves of this world and fill themselves with all the fullness of me that can pour out these things upon the people. But you must be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. But you must separate yourselves. You must be pure. Have I not said that the religion that I accept is pure and faultless, as those that look after orphans and widows in the distress and keep oneself from being polluted with the world? Yet my children lust in their hearts and long to be like the world. They long to speak like the world. They long to act like the world. They long to have the same slogans as the world and dress like the world. Therefore, they look like the world. But I've called you out of darkness into light. There's no fellowship between light and darkness. There's no harmony between the things of my spirit and the enemy. Many have deceived their own selves as if I cannot see. For everything in all creation is laid bare before my sight. Nothing is hidden from my sight. Everything's uncovered, naked, and laid bare before my eyes. For I even know your thoughts afar off. Therefore, exchange your thoughts for my thoughts. And let the thoughts that I have placed before you pass through your spirit so that you may be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can see. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. You know, he said there, yeah. Let me just read something to you from the book of Psalms. Hallelujah, Jesus. This generation has become so corrupt that, like Jesus said, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed that a man planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, when it grows, it becomes a tree large enough so that the birds perch on its branches. He said, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? He said, it's like yeast that a woman mixes into a large amount of flour till it works all through the dough. And he used many parables like this. He talked about a mixture. And what he's talking about is there was going to be doctrine that entered into the church, and the result is there would be a mixture of two people united together in the same buildings. This church united together in worship. One is false and one is true. He's going to separate them all at the end. And because of these facts, because people have not recognized that we have to be separate from the world, they've allowed the world to change their character and become tainted by looking at it. That's why Jesus said, you know, the Bible says over and over to be on your guard, be on your guard. You have to guard your heart with all diligence. We're supposed to be so different from the world that when they look at you, they have to take note that you are not one of them. You know, when it comes to witnessing, one of the greatest things to make it real that you're not one of them is you need to, many times, you know, the Bible says to be quick to listen, slow to speak. A lot of times when people are witnessing, they're beginning to get into arguments when they should be silent. You know, the Bible says, God is in heaven, you are on earth, so let your words be few. A lot of people are, they're flapping and talking and talking and talking and trying to speak all these words when if Jesus is standing there, he would have never even said anything. And it would have silenced them because of the conviction that they didn't get involved. He says, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. When you're silent and they're trying to start an argument with you, it puts them to shame. It convicts them. There's a lot of power in silence. If you ever watched how I witness, you'd find that if people are getting contentious and they're trying to argue with me, I'm silent. I'll listen to what they have to say. And then I wait and I'll just say a few wise, very wise words that silences them, and I turn around and walk away. So they have to think about what I said. Amen. We need to, you know, we're supposed to let our conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone. You know, I encourage everyone to memorize this psalm, Psalm 101:2. This should be your heart. If this is not your heart and you're not literally already acting on this, then I hope it convicts you to the point where you start to begin to act on it. Because this is what God expects from His children, that are to be holy and blameless in every way. I mean, most Christians, you say holy and blameless, they when they hear that, they think holy and blameless, like I'm more holy and blameless than I used to be. But when God says holy and blameless, He's talking about His standard, not human standards. Amen. Not the standards that we've created or what we think holiness should be. We're talking about a God who doesn't have anything to do with sin, nor will He ever, nor has He ever sinned. He will not even... Let me give you an example of what Jesus does. If He were to walk into a room and there was an argument going on, He literally would walk out of that room. He does not want to even get involved with these things, it says in the book of Isaiah. That's how God is. He will not... Why do you think He's in a different planet sitting on a throne right now? He's not down here. Jesus and God the Father have one body. They're on a different planet sitting up there. They don't want to partake in what is happening on this planet. They don't want to even be near it. And when they do come back, it's for to destroy the rebels. That's why the Holy Spirit lives in us. He doesn't want to be tainted. It says the Holy Spirit can be grieved. If there's not an atmosphere produced of the peace of God, the Holy Spirit will not even manifest Himself. Psalm 101, He says this: I will sing of Your love and justice to You, O Lord. I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. Think about what... I'll be careful to lead a blameless life. That means not even tolerating sin. When will You come to me? I will walk within My house with a blameless heart. I will set before My eyes no evil thing. Set no evil thing before My eyes. Nothing. That's... If you watch television, one TV program, and even seen a commercial, it doesn't matter what it is, you already set not just one, but probably hundreds, if not a thousand evil things before your eyes. If David was alive in this generation, he would never even turn on a television. It would be called an idol, and he would call it an idol. What is this vile thing with all these wicked things pouring through it? Keep it out of my house. Smith Wigglesworth, who raised something like 20 people from the dead, documented there was another preacher that came to his house carrying a newspaper, and this was around 100 years ago, before things were corrupt. He said, get that thing of the devil out of my house right now, he said to him. He wouldn't even let a newspaper come in his house. Some of you think, well, times have changed. No. People have changed. People have changed. And people need to change, and the body of Christ needs to change if they want to serve His gospel and not man's gospel. That's bringing God's gospel to a level where they're comfortable with, instead of them coming out of their comfort zone, becoming uncomfortable with who they are, not being comfortable with who they are, and changing and coming up to God's level so we can serve from God's table. That requires a lot of suffering. You know, the Bible talks about suffering. He says, you've been appointed not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. So we're to be holy and blameless and pure. And the way this is going to happen is, it's not going to happen just by willpower. It's going to happen through a transformation process that that takes place as we spend time in intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's how it happens. If you have children and you're not doing this, I'm not trying to condemn you, but you need to make the adjustments now. Now's the time of salvation. Now's the day of God's salvation. From the day your child is born, the first thing you should have done is picked it up and dedicated the child to the Lord. The next thing you should have done is prayed a prayer over it. And from that day, all the way throughout eternity, you should be reading the Scriptures to your children every single day. Every day. I don't care how old they are. Make them sit down and listen to you. It's your responsibility. You're going to have to stand before God and explain why you were so careless. And neglected taking care of your children spiritually. If they go to hell, the blood is on your hands. If you didn't do these things, you will be held accountable. What would you say? There'll be no excuses when you stand before Him. The Scriptures must. This is not optional. We're supposed to bring our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord, the Bible says. We're supposed to do it. They're not going to do it on their own. God doesn't even expect them. He expects the parents to be reading the Scriptures of their children, praying for their children all the time. Most parents look at their children that have become wild and disobedient because they've neglected these things, and then they curse them continually. It's called witchcraft. God doesn't look at it any less. It's not okay. Witchcraft is one of the works of the flesh. He says people will not enter into heaven over. You need to watch what you're saying over your children. I've warned. You should only be speaking positive things over your children. At the cost of your own life, don't ever let anything proceed out of your lips that is not pure over your children. You are responsible for what they do, and your words will affect them. In the same way, children are obligated, they must obey the parents. This is not optional. It's not optional. Children, look up here. We have to obey our parents so that you don't end up in hell. Because if you're disobedient and will not listen to your parents, and you don't get that straight right now, you will end up in hell's fire, and it will burn you for eternity, and you'll never get out. You'll scream forever. God doesn't want you to go there. But if we refuse to obey Him and we're stubborn and obstinate, He's prepared a place for people who don't obey Him. It's called hell. It's a place of fire. It's a place of torment. It's a place of suffering. It's a place where there's eternal worms that do not die. And they will, you know, the Bible says that the child that disobeys his parents, his eyes will be plucked out by the ravens for eternity. Imagine a bird picking, and that's what it's going to do. It's what the Bible says. If you think that little children are too young, they think this is funny. I'm telling you right now, there was an artist that Jesus took to hell. And she portrayed it, she painted it out, and she said that there was a 6-year-old there, and she was shocked that someone so young could end up in hell. And Jesus said the children must obey their parents, He said. That's what He told her. But in the same way, a lot of times the children that don't obey their parents have been programmed to be that way by their parents, not training them in the ways of the Lord. So who is the one who should point the finger? We have to keep it straight. So today's the day. What we should do is we should be going home today, if you've not been doing this, or whether you have, I don't know. But if you have not been doing this, today's the day to go home and sit down with your children and tell them it's story time. We're going to listen to the Scriptures. There's been many times that I've told people they need to keep the Bible playing in their house 24 hours a day. Is anybody in here doing that? 24 hours a day, nonstop, the Bible's playing in your house. If you're not, Why are you not listening to the Holy Spirit? You need to ask yourself, what is it in you that's so stubborn you will refuse to listen to God? He's given you advice that will scare demons out of your house. It will scare the daylights out of every devil that tries to come near your house. They hate listening to God's word. They hate it more than anything else because it reminds them of their eternity and their eternal demise. They hate the scriptures. It will change the atmosphere in your house. It will do it. But you have to keep it playing all the time. In this church, the Bible's playing right now. You can't hear it, but it's playing right now. In fact, the Bible's been playing in this church nonstop for a long time. As soon as you guys leave, it gets turned up loud and it keeps playing in this room. Why? Keep the devil away. Amen. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to be near it. It says the demons believe and tremble. It causes them fear. So we want to be separate from the world. If we're going to be a Christian, then we need to be a Christian. Let me describe what a real Christian looks like. A real Christian is someone who's separate from the world. They don't want anything to do with secular movies or music. They don't want that stuff because it concerns them. They want to guard their hearts. I don't want to be around that anymore. That's dirty to me. People will say that there's nothing wrong with that. It's a PG movie that's full of subliminal programming that is 100% evil. It's full of messages that want to pull you away from God because the social media is controlled by Satan. That they say is pure. But the reason most even Christians can't see that is because they're not close enough to God to see it. In order to see these things, you got to be close to God. And the closer you get to God, the more you will be able to discern these things. And the way we get close to God, again, is His Word. And praying in tongues. A lot of the things that I would consider evil, if I may walk through your house and see some of the things you do, and I think, man, caused me to grieve and cry to God because of the lack of spiritual discernment in the body of Christ. But as we grow and mature, these things become more real. What happens is the things in the natural become secondary to you, and the things of the Spirit, the things you cannot see with your physical eye, become more real to you. Where you walk around, there is a walk in Him. If you spend enough time in prayer and fasting and meditating His Word, that you will walk around and spiritual things are way, way, way more real to you than anything that you see with your physical eye. It says Moses persevered because he saw Him who was invisible. He saw Him who's invisible. How can you see someone who's invisible? He could perceive God. He recognized God. He could discern and understand God. He could feel and sense God. He knew God, even though he could not see Him. It says that Moses spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That's what it says. There's a walk in Him where you get very close and you start to walk intimately with God. And when that happens, holiness starts to pour out upon you, upon other people through you. And that's where we want to walk. We want to walk a blameless life like He says here. I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Verse 3. The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. And again, the fear of the Lord is to love what God loves and to hate what God hates. And the Bible says to love what is good. And He says to hate what is good, hate what is evil, and to cling to what is good. Romans 16:19. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. He says here in verse 4, notice that he says in verse 3 again, the deeds of faithless men I hate, they will not cling to me. In other words, I've got my guard up. I'm going to keep a distance. I'm going to distance myself from anything that could even possibly taint my spirit a little bit. It will not cling to me. Not going to let it happen. Verse 4, men of perverse heart shall be far from me. So people who've been tainted by the world, he won't associate with them. He keeps them far from him. I will have nothing to do with evil. Yet Christians, every time they turn on their secular television, they're filling their spirits with all sorts of evil and they can't even know it because they don't have the spiritual discernment to see it. If their consciences are seared as with a hot iron. Even your commercials, if you were just to watch, well, I won't even do it. Just one 30-minute program, there is not even a question in my mind that there are not just 100, but there are hundreds of evil messages that are planted in you from the show that you watch and the commercials in it. Whether it be pride is evil, would you agree? Amen. They're full of pride. Every word coming out of it is separate from God. It has nothing to do with God. The program has nothing to do with God. When the Bible says, it says, He says to come out from them and be separate. He just keeps saying it over and over in my spirit. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. Come out from them and be separate. For the things that humanity considers as tolerable and pure are vile in my eyes. For I will set no evil thing before my eyes. You know, it says in Habakkuk 1:13 that God cannot even look on evil. And if we're of God and we're His children, then it should bother you to even look on evil. Don't even want to look upon it. Where was I? So now he says, help me, Lord. He said that we're not supposed to set any wicked thing before our eyes. He says that avoid godless chatter. There it is. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Now, let me ask you something. If you go to a secular movie or watch secular television, does it have anything to do with God? Would you think that that classifies as something as godless then? And if so, and the scripture says to avoid godless chatter, that's conversations that are not evolved around God. Think about this before I go any further with that. When you get to heaven, do you think we're going to talk about anything but God? You honestly believe we're going to get there? We're going to talk about how good God is and all the wonderful things God did for us in this life. And oh man, God's grace is so good. He gave us all this stuff. Look at what God gave to me. Look at God did this. We're going to be talking about God the whole time, all eternity. Amen. You won't be able to get it off of your lips because He's so good. If that's true and He wants His will to be done upon the earth as it is in heaven, should we not as Christians be talking about God? Amen. He said, speaking to yourselves. He said, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:17. So we should just be walking around speaking of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, full of the word, just talking to each other about God, right? He says, avoid godless chatter now. Think about that. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. So if everyone in the room admitted that a secular movie that's not based upon Jesus Christ or secular music that's not singing about God is godless and it's godless chatter and it would make you more and more ungodly, then wouldn't it reason to guard your heart and say, I'm not going to touch that unclean thing? Because it's unclean in the eyes of God. It's not making you more of a godly person. If it's not edifying, it's not building you up in the things of the Spirit, that must mean that it's tearing you down. So why would we put that before ourselves? Why would we have anything to do with it? And this is what happens. Many compromise because of their spouse. Many compromise because of their roommate. They compromise because of people that they still consider friends, when instead they should take a bold stand for Christ and set a higher standard as a Christian. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to represent Christ. And if we're His ambassadors, then we should stand up and say no. You know, even just think of a non-corrupt police officer in this generation. Would you not say that they set a higher standard than your normal civilian? when it comes to laws and obeying the government's instituted laws. They set a standard. You see, you don't believe me? When you drive past that police officer, you put your cell phone down that you're text messaging on, don't you? Shouldn't be doing that. You're putting other people's lives at danger. It's not okay. Or if you look down and you see a cop, you look down and check your speed to make sure things are right. Why is that? Because they set a higher standard that we must obey. Otherwise, there are consequences to disobeying the law.
Amen.
You see? So if that's the facts, then if if God is everywhere present and He sees everything, that's just the thing. People don't realize. I've had conversations with God. He says the people don't realize that I see everything they do they? That's what He says to me. Do they not realize that I'm God? These are the types of things He says to me. Do they not realize that I'm holy? Look at them. And the people walk around, they don't even acknowledge God, and He's watching everything they do. And He's watching over them for their good. He's not trying to destroy anyone. He wants everybody to be saved. He loved them enough to die for them, even though they reject Him and would spit in His face and mock Him. And He's watching every word that we speak. Every single word that you speak is written down in a book, it says. Revelation. He says books were open at the judgment. Books and a book of life. Different books. Angels are writing it all down. It's all taken away. He said, men will be held accountable for every careless word they spoke in Matthew 12:37. Every careless word. That's when people are talking too much. Blah, 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 blah. The Bible says where words are many, sin is not absent. The Bible says, God is in heaven, so you're on earth. So let your words be few. If anybody knows me personally, you find out that I don't say many words. I'm basically silent all the time because I'm in prayer constantly. I'm a very quiet person. And Brother Hagin was the same way. There's many other men of God that when you get alone with them and you go out to maybe have a picnic or something, they don't say a whole lot unless it's about God. They're basically silent people. And if you're not that way, you can make adjustments because, you know, Brother Hagin said this, you can recognize people who pray and people who don't pray because people who pray are very quiet people. Very quiet people. They don't say much. And people who don't pray, they're going at their mouth all the time. Why? Because they've not taken their tongue in subjection to their spirit yet. They've not developed that. And the way you develop that is constant praying in tongues. Constant praying in tongues. That's where your tongue is literally hooked up with God's Spirit. You keep doing that, then the only thing that will start coming out of your mouth over a period of time will be the words of God. Because that's what you're speaking. What do you think you're speaking when you speak in tongues? Do you think you're speaking someone else's words? You're speaking God's word, right? If He's giving you the utterance, then you're speaking God's word. And you get used to speaking God's word. You get used to what speaking things by the Spirit of God. So when things try to come out of your flesh that are not of God, it comes under subjection to your spirit. Because you get a check and say, you can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I wanted to say that. I used to say that. It was just a year ago I would have said that, but it wouldn't come out. Why is that? You've trained your tongue. You're training your spirit right from wrong. So that's what we need to do. We need to spend, if you just spend all day long just praying tongues about 4 or 5 hours a day, you'll find out that things will start to work themselves out. Because you're so used to operating and flowing in the Spirit that when anything from the flesh tries to rise up within you or around you, you just, you get a check and say no. Most Christians don't spend more than a few minutes praying in tongues a day. It's an, you know, we prophesied about it yesterday and today. I believe we talked something along that lines that neglecting the gifts of the Spirit. Tongues should not be neglected. Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen. Tongues is powerful. I just can't wait till this service is over so I can start speaking in tongues again. I mean, I can't wait to get back into prayer. That's my favorite time, is just to be alone with God in prayer, because He keeps opening His Word up more and more and showing me things. I mean, He's shown me things that are way out into eternity. I can't even teach probably 15% of what He's shown me. I don't have enough time in a lifetime to do it. There's no way I could do it. Not in this life. It's not enough time. Why? Because He keeps revealing so much information to me. That a lot of times I get up here to teach and I have to prophesy to somehow try to instill all this information to you in a short period of time. It's difficult to do. But when God's Spirit gets involved, all things are possible. So this would encourage you, if you got children, to be reading the Bible to them. Sit them down and read the Bible to them. Pray over them continually. The children need a lot of prayer. And children the Bible says in the last days that children will be disobedient to their parents. There's only so much that I can do for your children. It's just only so much time I have with them. It's a very delicate situation dealing with each individual child. It's not a cookie cutter. Each child is different. They respond differently to correction. It's very delicate, and you got to treat it that way. It's a huge responsibility to have a child. Some children need a lot of encouragement, and some need more correction. Some respond to correction different from others. You got to really be led by the Spirit of how to do it, and make sure that you're not, when they're not acting right, that you're not correcting them by your anger or your flesh. You got to make sure it's done by the Spirit of God. So you really have to be careful with your actions when it comes to children, how to deal with them. You really got to seek God in prayer for wisdom multiple times throughout the day. God, if you got wild and disobedient children, I'd say, God, there's no way I can control these children. You're going to have to help me. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it before the Lord. If you will acknowledge that you're helpless before Him, He can help you. But as long as you think that you're going to have something to do with it. I mean, if your children won't even come to church, what can we do? And you have to be careful who your children associate with, because they're going to become like who they associate with. If your children associate with other children who are negative and unruly, they will become negative and unruly. If they associate with children who are living for God and strong spiritually, they will be affected and start to live for God and become strong spiritually. So let's love each other. Remember, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. If we just stick to that recipe and be patient and kind and leave lots of room for space for mistakes. You make mistakes just like they make mistakes. So when they make mistakes, don't try to condemn them. But recognize yourself in their shoes and their circumstances. You know that they may be acting wrong because they're crabby right now. But 10 minutes ago, they were treating you... Earlier in the day, they were treating you right when they had energy. So you need to leave lots of room for space, because people make many mistakes. But as we grow in the Lord, we'll make a lot less mistakes. Amen. And we can get to the point where we won't make many mistakes. Amen. You know, we're always going to be reliant upon His grace. But leave space for mistakes. Lots of forgiveness is in a marriage. Lots of forgiveness. Lots of tolerance.
Your love covers over all sins. It covers over a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9, he says, above all, love each other deeply. Love covers over a multitude of sins. In other words, love, you know, another place he says to bear with one another in love. Bear with each other. You got to bear with your children. They're going to make, children make tons of mistakes because they don't see. They don't understand yet, but if you train them in the ways of the Lord, they'll begin to understand. So love people, and love people by stepping out of your comfort zone and witnessing to people. There's many times when I'm exhausted or been fasting or something. I don't feel like witnessing to people, but I just do it anyways. I just want, as I'm walking up to them and my flesh is screaming, you don't have time, I say, God, help me, help me, help me, God. And then I just open up my mouth and He comes. Because you obey Him and He blesses you because of it. So remember to be a witness. Spend lots of time praying in tongues, meditating His Word. If you're not fasting, I encourage you to start. Ask God what He'd have you to do and start to fast. If you got a child that will not respond to correction at that point, you need to go into a season of prayer and fasting for them and find out what you can do to help them. Encourage everyone to read the Five Love Languages book. If you've not done so, you can get it from the library. They got it. Order a copy for yourself. If no one has ever read the book, Walk of the Spirit, A Walk in Power by Dave Roberson, you need to read that book. There's only three books that I recommend other than the Bible. It's Dake, God's Plan for Man, Dave Roberson, Walk of the Spirit and Power, and the Five Love Languages. Every other book, I tell you, stick to the Bible. I don't know what they're teaching. And I don't trust many people's teaching because I found out they don't teach what the Word says. So. Stick with the Word and you'll be safe, but you need to, you know, Jesus said to live by every word that proceeded of the mouth of God, not the Scriptures that are our favorite. And that's what most preachers are preaching, their favorite Scripture. They don't meditate all of God's Word. They meditate what they're comfortable with, where they want to walk. But the stuff like Book of James and 1 John that says you can't sin anymore, they don't feel comfortable reading that, so they just say it's too legalistic. I'm going to go back over here to the Book of Psalms. That's why you get people preaching these warm, fuzzy messages, because they're only willing to walk there. Amen? Amen? So let's stick to the Scriptures. Encourage you to all be in prayer. I don't know if you were here last night. I told you that on the way to my sister's, I had a vision, an inner vision or a dream or whatever you want to call it. It was a revelation. I seen in between the East Indian Ocean and the Philippines, I seen earthquakes way down below beneath the water. Let me tell you something. It was one earthquake that stemmed another and another and another and another. And if there's that many earthquakes that happen, there's going to be a massive tsunami that's going to destroy. So keep it in prayer. We do want the fear of God to be put in people, but if what happens, what I seen happen there, if it happens the way I seen it, it would destroy whole nations. There was 230,000 people that died with a 70-foot tsunami. This is not one earthquake. I seen dozens of earthquakes beneath the ocean. I'm telling you, that thing would cause probably a 100-foot or more tidal wave that would destroy islands in that area. So keep it in prayer. Keep it in prayer. I'm keeping it in prayer that God spares these people but puts the fear of God in them at the same time. I hope that that doesn't happen until we're off this planet, but at the same time, if a nation's so hard-hearted that they won't repent and some people have to be taken out just so others will be saved, I mean, whatever God's got to do, we got to reach these people somehow. Amen. Keep yourself from idols they're putting up. Again, I'm going to tell you, Baal, also called Bel in the Bible, that's a common name. It's the god Moloch or Maduk or however you want to pronounce it. Baal worship was orgies, bisexual orgies and child sacrifice. They're putting up a temple in New York Times Square of Baal in France. These are facts, and it's going to happen next month. If you think God's not going to destroy these places, I'm telling you right now, when the wickedness got that bad with the people, God's people, we're God's Gentile nation. When God's Jewish nation started to worship those gods, He destroyed them. We're getting very close to destruction to come on this planet, so keep in prayer and stay close to God, because, you know, the Bible says those who walk uprightly and speak what is right, their bread will be supplied and water will not fail them. There's going to come famine. There's going to come lack of water, drought, just like it was in the Bible. It's going to come on this nation if they don't repent. They need to repent. If they just get their hearts right and pray, God will forgive. But they need, if they keep heading in that direction, it's going to come. And it's going to affect us to some level, but He promised us we will eat. He said, they will go hungry, but My servants will eat. They will go thirsty, but My servants will have water to drink, the Bible says. But notice the word servant. That's those who are serving Him. That's not those playing church. They're going to be just like the unbeliever. So keep all these things in prayer. If God shows you anything more, that's all He showed me. But the thing is that after He showed me that vision, I realized it wasn't the first time I saw it. It was more faint the first time I seen it. But this time it was very clear. I could show you a picture on the internet of exactly what it looked like. It's something. I heard the word seismic. I never heard that word before. And I looked it up on the internet. It has to do with earthquakes. Seismic is the activity of earthquakes. And then I looked it up to see if it was even a word. So that confirmed the fact to me that what I was seeing was earthquakes for sure happening under the water. And if they happen under the water and they happen in rapid succession, you're talking massive tidal waves that are going to destroy anybody in that. I mean, massive. Just one earthquake would cause a huge tsunami that could destroy a nation. 230,000 people died in early 2000, sometime around 2003 or 2004. Do you remember that? And I also found out from another source after I told him what I seen. He said that's that same area is one of the largest places for seismic activity. One of the largest places for a type of thing to take place. Don't let him touch it. It's demonic influence. He bind every evil spirit. My son never, ever, ever touches my guitar, but when he's here. So you may want to consider your ways and who's bringing devils up in the church, because I'm telling you right now, we got to be living right outside of church. My son will not touch my guitar. I can lay it out and leave it out there. He won't even come near it at home, which means that somebody's bringing it up in here, being influenced from some other force. It could be on your children too. So little kids don't know. They're going to be swayed by things. That's why the parents need to show them the right way. It's up to us. Amen. So I encourage everybody to stay in prayer. We command it to stop in Jesus' name. And just stay close to God, okay? Jesus is coming very soon. There's a lot of times we're so caught up in the busyness of this world that you're not recognizing the signs of the times. We love you guys. Stay excited about Jesus. Be here on Sunday. Please read your Bibles at home. Spend much time in prayer. If you're already doing it, just keep on pressing in. This is what He keeps having me tell you. He's looking for disciples is what He's looking for. Jesus' disciples, they did what Jesus did.